Hello and welcome to the Geek Embassy Watches Game of Thrones. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and I'm here today with Nicole and Isabella, and we're going to talk about the start of Season 7 of Game of Thrones. Now, if you listen to Gaming with the Moms, then you will be very familiar with Nicole. Say hi, Nicole.
Hi. Great to be here. I get the chance to geek out without Stephen judging me, so it's always a good thing.
Judging both of us as we insist on talking about Game of Thrones, even though it's not that kind of game.
Right, exactly. It's got game in the title. I mean,
it does. You know. I mean, it's related. I could make an argument. I have a PhD. I can do this.
Yeah.
I can make an argument as to why we should be talking about Game of Thrones and Gaming with the Moms. You know, they're dealing with a toddler is very much like playing the Game of Thrones. You went die of sleep exhaustion.
It is, absolutely.
Destruction. Chaos.
Chaos. Fire breathing. Dragons. It's all mom stuff. I got this.
Yeah.
He is kind of a buzzkill for us, though, because we'll get really going and...
He'll get up to get a soda or...
Yeah, he'll just leave. Like, let us go on and then come back and be like, are you done yet?
Yeah.
So this way we get to have an entire episode
where
we just get to talk about Game of Thrones. All right, so let's start with initial impressions. Nicole, what are you thinking so far about the season 7?
I thought the first episode was a really solid start. You know, it gave us all the characters, basically. I think it touched on pretty much everybody. And, you know, kind of recapped everything, where they are, what's going on, and what are some of the challenges they're going to face. Episode 2, I think, went really, really fast.
Like, oh my God, I felt like I blinked. Like,
I know, exactly. Like, the pacing for that episode was just insane. It was, like, nonstop, everything, which makes me just wonder how the rest of the season is going to be. Because I thought this first episode had really good pacing, you know. It wasn't too slow, but it wasn't, like, you know, jumping through things. But episode 2, man, I was just like, whoa. Like, stop for a minute here.
Yeah, It was something big in every scene. So it was like the quieter scenes that weren't like big action, there was still big drama that was going on in them. And so it really did have that like sense of, wow, if they were gonna move at this pace, then I can see how we only have 7 episodes.
I know.
Is it only 7?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh gosh, I thought it was at least like 8.
No, it's 7.
Typically, yeah, it's typically
10. So we already have 5 episodes left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like no one has moved. Really.
Well, we've had one big fight with the pirates at the end with Euron Greyjoy. And the Armada.
He was insane, by the way.
Oh, he is. I mean, I kind of
actor too, man. Like this is maniacal laugh and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, wow.
I know. I saw a meme that compared him to an orc in Lord of the Rings orc. With his like crazy face when he's, you know, they're attacking and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's insane. He's crazy, but I'm enjoying him because he's a new kind of crazy, and he's not masochistic like Joffrey and Ramsay were.
Right.
So at least they are a little, I guess, but I guess we can talk more about that if we want to get into the detail of the pirate battle. And they were cutting off the tongues of people and stuff. So
that was really brutal.
It was really brutal. I actually like when I rewatched, I watched everything again to prep for this episode. So I watched the first 2 episodes again, and I was watching last night, and I actually got up and brushed my teeth during the grayscaling scene. Oh, and I forgot to mention this. I'm hoping everybody understands this by now. We are going to spoil everything because we're just talking about shows that just happened. So please, didn't know these were going to be spoiled. I'm so very
spoilers. People die and there's gross stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People die and there's gross stuff. Yeah. So when I was watching last night, I listened through the conversation that they had, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth. Watching the peeling off of the pussy.
Did you watch it the first time?
I kind of did, you know, the like peeking through the eye through the little, like, kind of like, I actually grabbed my phone and put my phone up in front of my face and was like, just so, because I don't have a strong stomach for this kind of gory stuff. Yeah. So it just kind of peaked, but I had to see what it kind of, I wanted to know what it looked like underneath. And so I watched a little right. bit of the peeling, and the thing that got me, of course, which was intentional, was like the pus that's underneath it. Like,
oozing. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. And then after they cut directly to somebody eating pie,
I'm cracking into the crust. Of the pie.
I kind of just screamed at that point.
Well, I wasn't sure what. I mean, I'm sure it was intentional. I wasn't sure what was happening, yeah. And I'm like, "Oh my I god, know. He's gonna hit an organ if he's digging that deep into that."
I kind of did the same, but then like I immediately realized what they were doing again.
Yeah.
With Sam, like, why is Sam's story so gross this season?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, if you think of the Maesters, they're pretty much like, you know, they're the doctors, you know, of the world.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, yeah. They're wise and they're teachers and all that stuff, but they're also the doctors. So
and they're like medieval doctors. So yeah. They're just doing exactly. all kinds of crazy
it's just
stuff.
It's gonna be brutal. Like anything they're gonna do is just gonna like tear everything apart. So it was rough. I was glad it was Jorah though, because I feel like he is a character in it. Has like the kind of strength that I could believe could actually survive.
Yes.
This because,
yes.
Yeah, he's so determined and he's so stoic. Like if it was anybody else, I think, you know, that first cut would have taken him out, but I could actually see him surviving through it because he does have such a deep held belief in her and in what he's done. And so I feel like, you know, if it was anybody else, I think I might be a little bit more worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously he's important, or Grayscale is important, probably mm-hmm. both actually at this point. So, because they wouldn't have given him Grayscale if the disease wasn't as important as he was.
Right. So. It would have just been what it was with, I can't remember the guy, Stannis's daughter having it.
Shireen,
yeah, that Shireen had it would have just been noted, you know. We wouldn't have had to go through this whole thing about him having it if it didn't have some sort of significance to the story. So you made the great comment on Facebook today, Isabella, of comparing Sam's to Sam's storyline to Bones.
Because it was seriously just like one-upping itself. I'm like, how long in the first episode, like the sequence where I first introduced him, I'm like, how long can this go? Oh, it's getting worse. I have to stop looking. I actually, during the descaling scene, I didn't have to look away, but during the first episode, I seriously had to stop watching because I was gagging.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't actually do this.
And he did such believable gags. Oh my God. I was like, wow, this is really, really good acting. Although I saw an interview with him that said that some of the stuff that they used, like prop stuff, was they used wet fruitcake. Which apparently starts to smell really bad, like after you've been working with it all day. So some of it wasn't acting so much.
He didn't have to stretch really far. Right. There was a little method going on there.
Gross food.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Wow. That's just wrong. Like I just made all that. Yeah, well, the whole, like, the fact that the food bowls and the bedpans, that's it, were the same shape and the same, like, I'm like, how do they not get these confused? Like, I mean, they're like literally like the same thing.
The same guy probably makes them.
I know.
Oh, God. It was such a wonderfully edited sequence.
It really was.
It just went on for so long.
I know.
And the gags like got more frequent as it went on.
Well, the sequence of the cutting of it, like, you know, from bowl to bowl to gag to bowl to bowl to keg, but, you know, they just started speeding up and I was like, oh God, because when you start realizing that what was going in was looking exactly the same as what was coming out, you were like, now which bowl was that just got dumped? Like, I'm not sure.
Right. words. Yeah.
What the hell?
like what happened to this director that like he suddenly has like a really twisted sense of humor where it's just like, you know what's really funny?
Who?
A poopsie.
Yeah. I mean, I was cracking up though.
I was too.
I always crack up at Sam though. It's just so funny all the time. But I was like, as it got going, I just like couldn't help myself. I was just like, oh, it's sick humor, but it's hilarious at the same time.
It was, and I actually liked that it went on, like, because I could tell they were just trying to push it in the montage. I mean, usually montages are like, you know, somebody's history, somebody's life history, or some beautiful thing with beautiful, you know, landscapes and stuff. Not poop bowls and
this isn't some training montage. This is literally
Well, it is a training montage. It's just a training montage to show that what he's suffering through to become a maester.
Like, how much can Stan suffer through before he gives up and just does something like he does in the second episode?
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, you're not actually going to listen to me, and we're not going to, you know, do anything that's worthwhile at this. So,
yeah. I love the fact that he's there and that we're kind of seeing a little bit more how that whole maester thing works, because it's always been kind of mysterious, like, you know, there every house has his maester, and they're sort of the doctor and they're sort of the teacher, and you don't know much about them except for the chains that they wear, and then you know that some of them are not so
up and up
like mm-hmm. Grandmaster Pycelle.
Yes.
who had whores on like almost every single episode that he was in.
Yep.
He was shown with a whore. But anyhow, so it's nice to see sort of like how that is happening. And I love Jim Broadbent as Archmaester.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I watched the second time I watched on Amazon, and they have the X-ray. So it tells you all the trivia.
Right.
And it turns out he is the first Oscar winner to be in Game of Thrones. So little useless trivia for you.
That's cool. When it was announced that he was going to be coming on the show, I was so excited, because I mean, they didn't say like anything about who he was going to be playing. So I'm like racking my brain thinking what characters haven't been introduced yet? What are they? Yeah. But the Archmaester makes complete sense.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. He brings the gravitas to it that, you know, it deserves for the position that it is and for what he's doing. Yeah. He's pretty cool. Do we have any other new actors or any other new named characters? I don't think we really do at this point, do we? I don't think we really do.
I don't think we're going to see really.
Yeah, anymore. I think we're kind of to the point where we're just dealing with everybody who's here.
Yeah. The only thing I could think that might happen is if they do like another flashback thing with Bran. Which is completely possible. But honestly, at this point, we basically know everything that has happened up to this point.
And right.
It's more about seeing the future as opposed to seeing the past.
Yeah. So this was a conversation I had with some other friends in a chat channel. So Bran in Dragonstone, the first episode of the season, he's they're coming up to the wall and they're being let through the wall. He's having a vision right before they go through the wall of all these White Walkers.
Yeah.
Now, two things I want to run past both of you to see if you've observed this. Now, that scene is ambiguous. Whether or not it's currently happening or it's the future.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that it just kind of like stands there. You can't really tell. But I came to the realization that because somebody was asking if it could have been the past or something like that. And I think now help me with this if you know. I think he only sees the past when he's touching the Godswood.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's like his connection to the past.
Yes. Like, I don't think he sees into the past unless he's touching the Godswood. And I think that that's the difference.
Yeah. Right. Because why didn't he see it before?
Well, the only...
Right.
Yeah. The only thing that I can think of, though, and I hadn't... I rewatched, you know, every single season leading up to this one. But this part of the episode is escaping me when... you know, when the three-eyed raven gets killed and they're escaping right. from I don't remember
coven or whatever.
But yeah. I don't remember if he was touching the godswood before they had to, because he was in his trance the whole time.
Right. Like, right.
The whole time
he was controlling Hodor.
Hodor, yes. Right. Yeah. And is the found out that he's the reason that Hodor was Hodor, which is right. completely heartbreaking.
Yes, it was, yeah. That was yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that's a good theory. And like I said, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and
yeah, it was just one of those things that kind of struck me, like I had told you about my assumption about Cersei having always killed her first child because it was actually Robert's.
Right.
Yeah. It was one of those things that just went without saying for how I was understanding the story until I realized that not everybody had been thinking that way. So that was one thing. And also because they had zoomed in on giants, a one-eyed giant.
Yeah.
Now, do we think that that's Tum-Tum? That was the other question. Or Num-Num.
Tum-tum, oh, 1-1?
Right? 1-1, sorry. 1-1. God, I'm awful.
Yeah, I'm going to be good. No, don't worry about it.
I didn't even realize he had a name at this point. Because,
well, yeah. Good. I don't feel so bad now that I got it wrong.
Only uttered once, and that's in the Hardhome season when Tormund is telling him to like stop fighting the guys and then just get into the water, and he's like, "Run to the sea." Yeah, but it's like I had to watch that. I didn't realize that that's what he was saying. Just a while ago. But I don't know. I think I don't know how it could be 1-1 because he died south of the wall.
Well, he's outside of the wall, and like Dawn would have burned all the bodies.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it didn't show it, but I would imagine that they set fire to that whole battlefield just to get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because Jon knows. So why would he not do that? So, So I don't think it was 1-1, but of course, we know that 1-1 was, you know, not the only giant. It was probably the last living or regular living, like not undead giant. Yeah. I think that, you know, but I think that scene too is like, we all knew it was coming, and now it's going to be like, yes, there are undead giants.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because we see more than one in that scene anyway, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's like two. In the fog or what, the mist that he's seeing. Yeah. So that was those were kind of the questions that we were batting around about that. The other theory that I read, which goes along with the theory I shared on our episode, Nicole, that we did, which was that I believe that the fact that they were bringing undead back to life or people back to life south of the wall was what was going to make it so that the walkers could come south, that it was going to compromise the magic in the wall. Well, I read another theory that said that it's actually Bran coming through the wall.
Oh, you know what, that makes sense, because he was touched.
He was touched by the Night King. And that's what allowed him to go into the Three-Eyed Ravens.
Yeah, into the cave there. Yeah,
so I feel pretty good, because I'm like, that wasn't far off from what I was thinking. It was a different reason for it, but it was that the magic was going to be compromised, because that's what Benjen had said. It was the magic that had kept him out from, he couldn't get close to the wall. Right. And so I think that I really like that idea that it was Bran, because they did make it significant, because why else would they make it so significant about Bran going through the wall to have had the vision right before he goes through?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. That's not something I had thought about. But
yeah. Because now he's like that's the inciting event for all that he's seeing is him going through the wall.
Right.
He's like the touchstone for the... What are we calling him?
he's the three-eyed raven now.
The king.
The Night King?
The Night King?
The Night King? Okay.
Yes.
I thought that's what I wanted to say, but I was like, where does that even come from?
I know. What should be, I don't know, Walker King or something like that? I don't know.
White King
or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the Night King. But yeah, that's what they referred to him on that in one of the descriptions of the episode, I think, right?
Yeah.
In the episode. And they gave.
Yeah, and John talks about seeing the Night King.
The Night King.
When Sansa is trying to tell him that he should be paying attention to Cersei just as much as the White Walkers. And he's like, I'm concerned with the Night King because I've seen the Night King And if you had, then, you know,
you would be concerned too.
Yeah.
You would know. Okay. But it's called the Night's Watch. So that's probably where that name comes from.
Yeah. And also just the referring to that type of winter is the long night.
Right.
So you've got night in there, a few things. So,
okay. Yeah. It makes sense. I just can't remember anything.
Well, it's a difficult show to remember anything from because there's like 500 plot lines going on.
I've been watching the show from the beginning and I've never rewatched any of it. So some of this, I'm just...
Oh, okay.
Just, you've only like seen
from a couple years ago.
Right.
Yeah,
I watched the first, I think, 3 seasons at least twice. And I think I watched the first season at least 3, maybe 4 times because I kept introducing people to it. So I kept watching it with them to get them started on it. And so I watched the first couple of several times as I was going along with it. But
I rewatched, as Regina knows, I rewatched everything leading up to season 7. But it's also because one of my friends, her husband just started working for HBO, like, I don't know, eight months ago or whatever. And she had never watched the show, but she had the chance to now. So I was rewatching so that I could, sort of go in tandem with her.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I got way ahead of her.
See, I never do that because people watch too slow for my liking. So I'm just like, are you?
Exactly. It's been so funny watching with her because she'll like call me and leave these voicemails after something huge has happened. Like after she saw The Red Wedding, like I got a voicemail from her and she's like, everybody's dead. And I was like, it took me a second to register. Yeah, I know what she was talking about. I'm like, get this voicemail. Everybody's dead. Like,
bus crash? What did I miss? I know.
But it's been fun.
Well, there's so many moments like that throughout it. My friend Julie, I told her to watch it the first time and she started watching it. And when Sean Bean's character died.
Yeah.
She messaged me and she's like, why did you have me watch this messed up show?
I know.
That's the least of it.
And she
wouldn't, it's also Sean Bean, so Sean Bean died.
She stopped watching. She didn't watch this. That was the 9th episode and it was this, she didn't watch the finale. She didn't like the second season. She ended up eventually going back and starting it up. But it was like a year, like a full year after the second season was out that she finally went back and started watching it again. When the 3rd season was airing, I think she finally went back. But that's how mad she was that Sean Bean died.
I didn't know this. Wow. Yes. You know what? I bet he was mad too. I don't know if you guys have heard, but when he started the show, he did not know that his character was going to die. And he didn't realize it until he actually got the script. Like, they get the scripts for each episode, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before they start filming. And he didn't know until he got that script.
And they're like, really, you guys? Really? Again?
You know, he died in the first movie of the trilogy.
So many of those actors haven't read them. It's funny, Kit Harington says all the time that he read them because he wanted to know what was going on. But most of them, we didn't want to poison our interpretation of the character, or, knowing what was going to happen.
Source material,
So obviously Sean Bean didn't read the books. So.
Right.
or anything, not even the book.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. I guess I'm not too terribly surprised, but I feel bad for him though. He's like, I got this great lead part.
I know. Especially after Lord of the Rings, where he was like, almost lead.
Right.
Poor guy.
Sean Bean always dies.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
He's gonna get branded. The guy who always dies. All right. So what else happened in the first? We had and we have Arya. We have Arya's opening.
Oh my god! The best opening ever.
Best opening scene ever. It was just so good. It's just like this slow burn where. We're so confused. He's like, is this a flashback? What's going on? And then
that's
about
what I did too.
About a minute into it, and I'm like, oh, that's Arya. And he's like, one of the women standing next to him, I'm like, no, she's Frey. And he's like, what? And
yeah.
I'm like, watch.
Yeah.
And then Frey totally shows her killing him. And I'm like, oh, that's why they showed us that so that we would realize. But it still took me so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It took me a little while, too. Like, Isaac called it right away. But I realized it when she was sort of mocking them and calling them great heroes because they killed a pregnant woman and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. That's got to be her.
That actor that did a super great job, like, being, like, himself. Well, like his half character, himself. But, like, not quite great.
Yeah. Yeah, doing enough to tip it so you were like, oh, this isn't you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And very subtle. And it was what the look, I mean, it was mostly in like how he was looking and how he was like taking in the surrounding. Oh, yeah. He did a great job. They had said that too. If you're watching on HBO Go or whatever, I don't know if they do it on when they show them, but they do, they always do a little bit after about the episode with the showrunners.
Right. Yeah.
And they said, you know, once they saw that scene, it hadn't been planned originally to be a cold open at all or to even open the show, but as soon as they saw him act it out, they were like, this has to be what we saw.
It was so great too with the music, like as she's walking out and then it like booming into the theme music. I was like, wow,
yeah,
that is awesome.
Where else was in the music for Dany when Daenerys lands on Dragonstone.
Uh-huh.
The music in that scene is just absolutely outstanding. I mean, it would have to be because there's no dialogue, but like I just remember like and how it led itself looped back into like it was a different theme, like a different melody, and then it led back into the Game of Thrones theme. I was like, oh, this is really beautifully done.
Yeah. That whole scene. Yeah. Like I said, the first episode, I think every single character was done really, really well. Like, and you really got a sense of, actually, the funniest thing and my favorite part of that episode is Sansa after Littlefinger comes up and starts talking to her. And then Brienne comes up and she's like, no need to seize the last word, Lord Baelish. I'll just assume it was something clever. I was like,
awesome. I am so pleased with how her character has progressed. Mm. Like, so pleased with it because she was such a whiny little brat. Like, she was just terrible.
Completely naive. And,
and self-centered and, you know, difficult and awful. And it was just been such a pleasure to kind of watch. I mean, it's horrible that she had to go through what she had to go through.
Yeah. Yes, to get to that point.
To get to the point where she could kind of grow up to such a graceful, you know, outcome. But, you know, she really has done a nice, she really has come nicely around for her. Yeah. Dany, I feel the same way about Daenerys as well. Like, you know, she's had some hard stuff. And I still wonder, she's so pragmatic in some ways. Like, I feel like that's going to be tested with this. Because she's so like, this is right and this is wrong. And I think that there's still a lot of gray that she's not really accepting in the situation. Yes. So it'll be interesting. Right.
Especially with Tyrion being like, you can't just go in and kill everyone.
Right.
Because you're supposed to be a leader of the people. You can't do that if you burn them all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't rule the, what is, I can't remember.
The ashes. Do you want to be a queen of the ashes? Do you want to be queen of queen of the ash or something like that? And then she mimics it back to them when they're talking about it.
And he like, looks up like, hey.
She's really listening to what I say.
Which makes me think that since Olenna, like, Lady Olenna was like, you've got to be a dragon, that she's going to do something really rash and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think it, I mean, I think that's going to be her reaction to the armadas, to Euron's destroying the armada. And I'm not really sure what his play is going to be because now he has Yasha as
Yara.
Yeah, no, good. No, definitely correct me. Definitely correct me.
What's her name? Because I can't remember her name either.
Yara.
Yara. I always want to call her Arya. It's like, just two letters switched around.
Yes, they are. They are, absolutely.
Because he has Yara as a hostage and the Dorne chick and her daughter.
Right.
He has the three.
I was so upset Yeah, Ilaria. I don't know all the daughters' names. I don't know the daughters' names.
No, they but, don't really call them the Sand Snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the main woman is Ilaria. Ilaria Sand. Yeah, I know that. I was, you know, I was kind of upset that they got killed right away. They were just so, like, just badass and cool. And then they got killed right away.
And they just, like, took an axe or something.
Yeah, I know. It was like, man.
Yeah, it was really... It was sad because they're like so clever in how they fight, and so
yeah,
it's such a different
they're
style.
Supposed to be like great Dornish fighters, and they just got taken down by like these pirates.
Yeah, I also think too is that we never saw them having to deal with the element of surprise very much.
Well, they were the element of surprise.
Yeah, they were calculating. Yeah. You know, actually, just being experts in poison. And all that kind of stuff, you really have to be like five steps ahead of everybody else. And so I think that maybe they're just trying to like say that was their weakness. They weren't used to being surprised.
And so surrounded too. Like the numbers were just ridiculous.
They were totally ambushed.
Yeah. Since we saw just the fight on the flagship, my assumption was that the fight had come from the outsides. And by the time it got to the flagship, everybody else was already mostly dead, if not all dead, by the time they just, you know, came in and took care of the flagship. So,
yeah,
you know, there wasn't much left. I thought it was kind of a folly to have them all on the same boat, but that's just me.
I mean, like, I don't know.
You put all your named characters in one boat.
Well, I was wondering why they had Yara escorting them anyway.
Their army wasn't up here, and so they were sailing. At least this was Tyrion's plan, was that they were going to sail down, grab the Dornish army, and then bring them up and then do the siege from the sea.
So they came up by themselves, basically.
Yeah, so because Yara she just went directly to Meereen, and so they hauled over the Unsullied and the Dothraki to Dragonstone, and then now, you know, Tyrion's like, they're going to send them down to get Dorne and whatever, but the interesting part about all that is that it's sort of, it shows that Tyrion isn't right all the time. You know, so this is going to be a big blow to him and his strategy.
And it's going to be a big blow to their relationship and how she views him and views his counsel, because up to now, he has been flawless. He has given her good advice. Everything he's, you know, suggested to her has, you know, helped. And, you know, this is going to be a big... That's why I think she's going to be so rash in whatever kind of decision she makes from here, because she's going to be mad at him.
Yeah. She already seems mad to me, though. Like, I don't know. Everything she did in episode 2 was just seemed... She just seemed really pissed off, like, the whole time. You know?
Everybody. She has that conversation with Varys. Varys, where she's just like, who gave
me the family? I knew that was going to happen because in season 5, I think it is, right before Tyrion starts to be her advisor, they're talking about Varys, and she's sort of, you can tell she has disdain for him at that point. And so, like, that was sort of left open, and you see him on the ship, like, sailing with her, and I'm like, I kind of knew that she was going to call him out at one point. And so it's cool that happened. At the same time, man, she was just... mad. And the thing that I think that was most telling for me about her sort of being, like you said, black and white pragmatic is like, tell Jon Snow to come here and bend the knee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Is she turned into Cersei? Like,
that's what I was thinking too. Like, she crossed, like, she had always been a little bit more respectful of people's, you know, views of themselves, and now she's kind of, I think as she gets closer to actually being on the Iron Throne, I think that kind of, like, you know, everybody's got to obey me thing is you know, creeping in. And I'm not sure that's going to serve her particularly well, because I think one of the reasons why she's been so powerful has been her ability to adapt.
Yes.
And I feel like she's not adapting as well as she should be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, she makes the mention of that too, you know, right at the beginning of the episode, that it doesn't feel like home to her.
Right.
And I think she sort of probably had this glorified vision of what it was going to be like to come to the place that she was born. And she's been used to like warm weather, you know, sun all the time and like desert type stuff. And now she's on Dragonstone. There's a crazy thunderstorm and it's probably cold and wet. And
so. The castle has been totally like abandoned. There's nothing there. Like she basically came home to like nothing.
Like, to a house full of spiders, you know, like they're walking through it. And it was funny because they're walking through it and I kept thinking, I'm like, who's taking up residence in this place? Not like people, but like, you know, what kind of creepy crawlies might actually be like, they should be like walking through cobwebs or whatever.
It's been
since what season? Since season, was it two?
Five.
Season five?
Oh, no. Well, Stannis left. He left in season two, but he went back. They were back for a while. Before he went to
north
to help when he went north to help the Night's Watch win that battle. Right. That was at the end of season four that happened. Okay. So he had gone to Blackwater Bay and got defeated and they went back home. Not really his home, but Dragonstone, and then you know, Melisandre did lots of stuff where they kidnapped Gendry, which
Where is
Gendry?
Where is Gendry? I want to know where Gendry
exactly.
Is. I wanted to run into Arya.
That would be awesome. I don't think that, but he was left Davos left to let him go, right, and let him escape.
Yes. And yeah. The last time you see him, he's rowing out to sea.
I saw a theory that Theon is going to catch up with Gendry.
That
he jumped the boat and he's going to end up wherever it was that Gendry ended up. That's another, like, not my theory. It's one that I read, but that they were going to be, that was how he was going to connect.
They were just going to run into each other in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, you know, I wonder where Theon is actually going to go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously...
on your way to Dorne. Like, what's nearby?
I don't know.
He's going to just be marooned on an island somewhere. that's the end
of it. You know what? That's kind of what he deserves. I mean, I understand he went through a lot of crap, but him just jumping off the boat.
So has everyone on this show.
I know, exactly. Yeah. But... I mean, I think they were trying to show you what was happening with him when they gave the cuts of people's tongues being pulled out and all that other stuff. It would come from him to something bad happening back to him to something bad. And obviously, you know, he was being triggered about everything that happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he sort of, you know, panicked and left.
Yeah. But
at the same time, I'm like, dude, like he's gone. It's an interesting because... You know, I think everybody thought last season that he had sort of put that behind him.
Oh, I had no idea. No.
No, I didn't think so.
Oh, no. In this episode, in Stormborn, when she says, oh, he's my protector, I'm like, oh, he's dead. I'm like, he's going to fail her. He has to, because there's no way you take somebody out of that kind of trauma and put them in a position where they have to protect somebody else, because...
Yeah.
It's, you know, those things just don't go together. And I never believed it. Like, I thought he had like resurrected some of his humanity, but I didn't believe for any stretch of the imagination he was beyond it. There's no way. It was too much. There was too much psychological trauma there for him to be done with it. I think he's going to feel horrible remorse. I mean, I think it's going to be insane the kind of remorse he's going to feel after this. And I'm not sure what kind of action that might drive him to, because if you do think about it, the thing that pushed him out of the cycle he was in with Ramsay was to protect Sansa.
Yeah.
Right. Because he knew he had to save her. But that was calculated. That was the other thing. Like, he planned that out. Like, he's like, we can get out this way. And he had it ready to go.
Yeah.
Where this was kind of like the Sand Snakes got surprised. He was just thrown into it, and that kind of like not being able to be prepared to have a plan to action, I think, is part of what just brought the trauma back.
So. Yeah, Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just,
feel bad.
I'm curious as to what, I mean, I don't know how much you want me to talk about stuff that I've seen online.
Yeah, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'm talking about theories that I've been reading.
Yeah. I don't really read theories for images, like, you know, leak production images. Mm-hmm. And although I don't, you can't say that this is real anymore, because apparently they filmed 6 fake scenes in order to throw off running around. So I don't know if it's true or not, but there are pictures of him running into Jon Snow at one point and kind of getting his ass kicked by Jon.
Who is this?
Who
ran into Jon?
Theon.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, I know. Like, you know, with retaking, you know, Winterfell away from them, and then letting stuff happen to Sansa, even though he saved her in the end. And
yeah,
and I guess I would assume that Sansa told him that that Bran, that Theon didn't actually, well, we know he didn't kill Rickon, but that he actually didn't kill Bran either. But I mean, but if Jon still thought that, it was like,
yeah, it's interesting that news hasn't reached Jon yet. Like, I was gonna ask you about this, Nicole. How fast do the Ravens travel?
I don't know. That's the other thing about this whole sort of like sense of time passed in the show, is that you don't know. Because like at the end of last season, like in the last episode, you see Varys and Dorne, getting Lady Olenna on board. And then literally 20 minutes in that episode, he is on the ship sailing across the sea with Daenerys.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, how much time has passed here? So it's hard to say. And then, like, you know, we saw Sam write the Raven to Jon in episode 1, and then episode 2, he has it. So I have no idea.
Well, it's the same. It's the same thing, because he got the 2 Ravens at the same, you know, within days of each other. He got the one from Sam and the one from Daenerys, you know, within a couple of days, which I was like, of course, story-wise, that makes sense. But why hasn't he gotten a Raven from the Night's Watch telling him that his brothers arrived?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I was wondering if he was going to, like, realize, like, your brother's, like...
Although, honestly, really the Night's Watch has been left without a maester, so maybe none of them
they might not know how to write.
That's true. They are all like criminals and
there might not be any literate people left there. I mean, I'm not
Sam
saying
left
like,
I mean like that yeah. was the one person
like, you know, Sam and John both knew how to write. That was one of the reasons why Mormont chose him to be his assistant, was because he knew he had to read. You know, it could hadn't even thought about that, but it could be that nobody there knows how to write anymore. You know, because that's one of the things. Go ahead.
And it's also just the generally, like, the sense of time. So maybe when we're seeing all this stuff happen with John and whatnot, like, maybe that's happening the same time that Bran is actually coming past the wall.
Like, I couldn't quite make sense of that. I'm like, because if he had all 3 of these pieces of information, like, within a couple of days of each other, like, what, like, life-shattering.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, how long it takes to get from place to place now, because I'm like...
They have teleporters, as far as I know.
Send a guy.
Star Trek crossed in somehow. It's Star Trek Game of Thrones now.
And like, how long is Arya going to be, like, traversing the north by herself?
Yeah.
Is she going to run into Jon? I don't know.
Oh, that could be, right?
They said she's heading to Winterfell, so... So, I mean, I imagine she will if Jon goes back to Winterfell. So that's the question.
It looks like in the preview, like he's already there. He's already at Dragonstone, like, in the next episode, which
just but that doesn't mean he wouldn't go back, you know, to Winterfell, because obviously that's where his army is and whatnot.
So they're just, like, hopping around all over the place. And
I'm telling you. Some Star Trek technology somewhere in the medieval era.
Definitely. I mean, obviously everybody wants this, but I want them all to get back together, like Jon and Sansa and Arya and Bran. Which would just be awesome. I mean, it's been interesting to me that that John and Sansa have been the ones to sort of meet up and have to work with each other. Because if you think about when they were kids, they were probably like the least likely to interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, because right. John liked Arya, Sansa was just like, you know, princess. I don't think she actually interacted with any of her siblings.
Well, yeah, because Sansa was like basically like her mother's favorite. She was like the perfect little daughter. Like she was never going to interact with the bastard child that her mother hated.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is probably exactly why Arya and him became friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had a reason, because they were both sort of outcast, more outcast.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to do the whole lady thing.
Right.
Like, yeah, and John was never going to be like the son anyway, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to. You know, irony, of course, that he's the one who's running things now. And he's not and he's not actually Ned Stark's son, so he's still a Stark. He's still a Stark, but
yeah,
I don't know. But he's also a Targaryen.
Yeah, I know. The funny thing is,
that's going to come into play.
I know exactly. When is he going to be?
Well, and that's why I wanted to know when Bran was going to connect with him, because Bran's the one who's carrying that information. Although Bran could write, I'm really stuck on this one. Sorry, guys.
I'm just like, send a guy. If it takes so little time, just send a guy.
Yeah.
Just teleport a guy down. What would a teleport look like in Game of Thrones? Well,
I was just thinking, like, Bran spent like seasons going up north. And then it took no time at all to get dragged all back. The way back.
By one person.
By one person.
Yeah, after he had Hodor, you know, was the one carrying him up.
Right. You know,
And, well, I guess he had Benjen for part of the way, but.
Yeah. I mean, I was at least appreciative that they made Mira just look terrible.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Somebody else can pull a stand. Like, she's watching her face as, like, they go to grab the things to pull it. And she's just like, oh, I can just put my hand gently on the back here.
Exactly. Yeah, she looks like she's in really bad shape. So
It's
terrible that she is in really bad shape, but I'm glad that they didn't make her look all, oh, it's been fine. I've been dragging this person who probably weighs more than me for
away from an army of the dead. You know.
Right. All right. So what kind of predictions do we have for in the next episode? I was looking, let's see, we've got the title of it here and the short description on IMDb. The Queen's Justice is the next title. Daenerys. It says, Daenerys holds court, Cersei returns a gift, and Jaime learns from his mistakes. Oh, Jaime and Cersei. Okay, I had another one.
We didn't talk about them at all.
We have to touch on them real quick. And one of the things I saw in the trivia thing on Amazon. Okay, so when they're standing on her map, she's got the painting of the map.
Right.
Okay, now, so the prophecy says that her brother is going to kill her, right? The prophecy, and she always thought it was Tyrion. This is one of the things. So the prophecy that said all of her children were going to die. As they're standing and they're having that scene between them when she's like, I need to have a dynasty. Right, yeah. I must leave a dynasty. And you're like, get over it, woman. Your kids are gone. Your dynasty's done.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I kept thinking. I'm like,
Even if you win, like what? Whatever.
There's nothing left here. You're over. Yeah. Anyway, so as she's having that talk with him, she is standing on what's known as the neck on the map, and Jaime is standing on the fingers. And so one of the theories is that was a little Easter egg of perhaps he's the one who's going to end up having to kill her.
Yeah, there's been a lot of theories about that running around, because it's sort of, you know, he's had this whole kind of weird redemptive type arc where she has just been getting crueler and crueler and crueler. So lots of people are thinking that he's going to be the one to kill her. I don't know. I'm still, I honestly don't know. Like, I usually like to predict this kind of stuff, but I honestly don't know. Like, I think Jamie is a viable option. I think, obviously, Danny is a viable option. But I actually think Arya is, too. By the way, which is another part that I loved in episode one, was her meeting up with the Lannister soldiers, because she had been single-mindedly, like, kill, 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 kill. And that gave, that humanized some of hers. Quote-unquote enemies for her, which I think was a really, really cool scene. And also when she just says, "I'm going to kill the queen."
Right, I know.
Silence.
I know.
And then they all laugh.
And then she starts smiling, and she's like, "Oh, they've been kidding. It's awesome.
Right.
I'm telling the truth." Yeah, I love that scene too. I mean, poor Ed Sheeran, the singer. He just got like trashed. He deleted his Twitter account and like
he did.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Oh God, yeah. Like he had so many people
because of his like acting or something.
Yeah, because he was on the show. Like people were so mad that he was on the show that they just like literally trashed him to the point where he deleted his Twitter account and he hasn't been on like any social media because he was picked on so badly by it. I think it's awful. Like if you want to pick on somebody and be mad about somebody about him being on the show, go to the producers. They're the ones who made it happen. Don't, you know, pick on him.
Also, who cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
I didn't even know who he was until someone started saying stuff when he was on the show. I started seeing stuff on Facebook. I'm like, what is the big deal? Like, I don't even know who this guy
is. And I was like, he's a musician. I have no idea who he is.
No, I knew who he was. Like, I couldn't quite remember what his name was, but I thought he's got such a beautiful voice and the singing was just so poignant and perfect, and the songs from the book, and so like it's all, you know, fitting in it. But yeah, he just got flamed. The internet just like went to town on him, and just like, that's awful. It was like his favorite show and he's been a super fan forever, and he gets to be on it in one small part and have a couple of lines. That's not worth trashing him over.
And I think this is, again, I watch way too many like interview segments and talk show stuff with the actors, but like the way that he sort of got his in on the show is because he met Kit Harington in the men's bathroom.
That's perfect.
And I know, exactly. Kit Harington says he gets that all the time, like especially between seasons 5 and 6, it was like constant.
Right.
Like he could not use a public bathroom without recognized by somebody
and but having somebody ask him if he was dead. Are you dead?
I know.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. But apparently that's how that they met, and that was kind of how Ed Sheeran got on the show, which I think is
awesome.
Hilarious.
I think that's awesome. I thought it was great. I thought he did a great job. I didn't have any, you know, problem with him whatsoever. I felt horrible when I saw that he had been harassed so badly that he deleted his Twitter account. I mean, that's just like, oh, come on, guys. Internet, be nice to people. Don't be mean, internet. Which is like saying don't exist.
I was trying to explain to a coworker about like people. She was like, "People are awful on the internet." I'm like, "Have you been on the internet?" It's always been like this. Oh, are you surprised?
I'm
like, "Oh, you haven't been on the internet since you were like a little." I'm like, "I have."
That's definitely, if you didn't grow up with it, it definitely still seems odd that people are quite so horrible about things that I don't really need to be horrible about. But
Yeah.
All right. So we're worried about Daenerys making some sort of rash decision. Do we have anything else we're thinking is coming up? I can't wait to see what happens with Jorah, like how he deals with his skin being ripped off.
Oh God, he's just gonna be a mummy the next time we see him.
Yeah.
I'm interested too. You know, it showed him writing a note to Daenerys, but you couldn't see anything.
No, to Khaleesi.
He still calls her Khaleesi,
which I was like crying laughing about, because I was like, of course he's still calling her Khaleesi. Oh my God.
I'm curious. You know, they didn't show us anything about what he was actually writing, so I don't know. I was wondering, you know, the Archmaester was sort of kind of indicating to him that he might want to just end it during his last day at the Citadel. So I wonder if he was, if that was like a suicide note that he was writing to her.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sam came in and
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He was saying his, you know, I'm gonna, you know, they aren't able to treat me and, you know, I tried. Because that's what her last words to him were. You, I command you to go find the cure for this.
Heal yourself,
Yeah. So I, that was my suspicion with the glance at the sword, the knowing glance at the sword.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what happens to Jorah. Yeah, we're a little worried about Daenerys. What else do we think?
Cersei, what's Cersei going to do when she's faced with...
Cersei returns a gift is what the description says. So
is she not going to do anything, do you think?
I don't know.
Is she going to resist that?
I don't know. Like...
I don't know either. Yeah. Well, one thing that I think was interesting and actually like totally like, because before you think about the show, like Daenerys is coming with her dragons. How is anybody going to fight that? So right. I was really pleased that they showed Qyburn, who had worked with all of the blacksmiths and everything to create that crazy
the world's largest crossbow.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, all right, now we know that
we
it's
have
not
something
decided. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So. Cool. Cause they have to have something. They have to add the drama to it. Although it's, I don't know. I read one article that was like blasting them for, you know, having a crossbow that's going to take care of a dragon because it's like, oh, it shot through a skull of a dragon.
That's been dead forever.
Dead, that was stationary and that was about 20 yards away when you had you know, a moving dragon. And then the counter to that was, well, they'd have them all along the edge of the castle and they'd be shooting, you know, multiples of them at one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess... theoretically it could be interesting, but
if you're completely surrounded maybe, but
I still don't know
it like doesn't seem easy to aim or anything. Like you can't just turn it around,
you know, and they're not going to be able to aim it up either the way
they just fly really high and go in like
and they're made of wood.
This is the end of the Lord of the Rings all over again. Like why didn't they just fly in on the eagles? Like
the eagles only give return trips. I don't know, that's just what I always said. The eagles only fly back. They can't go, they don't do any outbound, they only do inbound.
Oh wow.
All right, we're getting punchy, I think. We should probably wrap this up. All right, so for the Geek Embassy Watches Game of Thrones, we're going to do two more episodes. Since there's only 7 episodes a season, our plan is we're going to record again after episode 5, and then we'll record our finale after episode 6 and 7, because it usually goes that the last two episodes tend to like really be a package. So I'm kind of hoping, because 7 is an odd number for me to kind of split up for this. So we're doing episodes 1 and 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then 6 and 7 for this series. So if you're listening, please let us know what you think about all of our crazy theories and all of our conversation here. Check us out at thegeekembassy.com. If you don't already listen to Gaming Me and Nicole on Gaming with the Moms, you should go listen to us on Gaming with the Moms on Blog Talk Radio. Links to that are also available on the Geek Embassy. So until next time, winter is coming. Oh wait, no,
here, it's here.
Winter is here.